get some my business in order here. James chapter 2. Hey, just a heads up, if you want to read along next week, anybody want to take a guess? James chapter 3. Last week it was 1, this week it's 2, next week it's 3. And you can read along, and I'll tell you what, you could read James 2 all week, and it'll speak something different to you every day. Amen?
Amen.
All right, we're going to read the back half, and then we're going to go back to the beginning and work through this. So we're going to start at verse 18 and go through 26. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right, here we go. James 2, 18. But some will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by what he does, and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab, the prostitute, considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As a body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Lord, we come before you this morning, and we want to learn how to move into fullness, Lord. Many of us have suffered enough. Can I get a witness on that?
Amen.
And Lord, we do consider it pure joy when we encounter trials of many kinds. And as we grab onto you, and as we grab onto you this week, Lord, we move into greater fullness in our lives. Greater fullness, Lord, as we can embrace you. Greater fullness, Lord, as we know how to make choices that line up with you. And we give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Everyone said?
Amen.
Amen. I like that. My fingernails are black today. I've been working on the Volvo this week. My son had, who is with us today, good to have you, Joe. Where are you, Joe? They're back there near the soundboard. A little round of applause for my son, away at college, coming back. He had taken the Volvo up to school, and it was losing oil. How many people know that's not good? And it was losing water. How many know that either one of those can lead to catastrophe? Amen? And so I said, well, bring it on down. And I have been indeed working on that Volvo a lot of hours on that thing. And in fact, I recall there's a $20 hose. Right after we first got that thing a couple years back, a $20 hose failed on that car, and I tried to limp home and burn up the motor. And sometimes it is the little things in life that lead to catastrophe. Thank you for that, Johnny. And you know what? We are surrounded by little things and little problems in our lives that unattended can lead to catastrophe. Amen?
Amen.
Title of today's message is Fill in the Cracks, our series When the Rubber Meets the Road. And James writes to a church that is in challenge, that is surrounded by problems. We, on 9/11, can look back 15 years and be reminded how problems can lead to catastrophe. The terrorists, several of the terrorists, were living in San Diego. and moving, I don't know about around us, but moving around the city. The city was completely unaware of the danger, planning destruction, looking for cracks in the defense, cracks that lead to catastrophe. James writes to a church under attack, attacked by the Romans, faith attacked, but attacked by the devil. And the Bible says that the devil prowls around looking for who he may devour, looking for cracks that he can expose. And each of us have cracks in our lives. Problem with cracks, cracks can be catastrophic. Writes to these churches, says, watch out for cracks. Holy Spirit comes into our lives and says, better work on that. Question for us today is, what do you do with the guidance of God? The title of today's message is, Fill in the Cracks. All right, if your Bible is open to James chapter 2, we're going to go back to the first four verses and talk about God working out his plan, planning our lives, plan for this church, plan in this neighborhood, plan in this country. It says, my brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, we must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy old clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing the fine clothes and say, here's a good seat for you, but say to the poor man, you stand there, or come sit on the floor by my feet. Have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? And as Christians, we must be clear on our motivation. James moves from the issue of trials that we talked about in chapter 1 to favoritism. A rich man and a poor man. How do you respond to each? And James is not happy with the church. He is writing to churches that are scattered throughout modern-day Turkey, Asia Minor, and they are catering to the rich. And he says this is not good. Their favoritism bends the plan of God. And they bend that plan of God for their own gain. We're not going to get anything from these poor people. Let's try and hook up with the rich ones. You see, the plan of God is to give and not receive. Luke chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus says, love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. And where the churches that James was writing to were focused on what gain that they could receive, Jesus would build a church with a focus on a heavenly reward. Amen? Once had a conversation with God. Said, God, this is so hard. This is so difficult. And he says, why don't you stop trying to do my job? He says, I'll bring them to you. I will save them and you help me. Yes, sir. Amen? Amen. See, the trick is to find out what God is doing and become a part of that. Amen? And these guys are trying to bend the plan of God. Hey, God, can't we take care of all these rich people? See, that's not my focus. Now, there's lots of rich people in the Bible. Well, there's some rich people in the Bible that God is doing a work in. But primarily, this early church was from the poor. And God would use the poor as a witness to the rich. Amen? Yeah. All right, let's keep going. Listen, my dear brothers and sisters. Has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised to those who love him. But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are blaspheming the noble name of him to whom you belong? Christians need to line up on God's choices. God is doing a work among the poor. We need to get in line. Amen? God wants to move you in a certain direction. The appropriate response is, how far, Lord? God wants you to jump. The question is, how high? Amen. Not, Lord, can you come in and fix this for me? James says, you're catering to these guys. God's not doing anything in them. They're taking advantage of you. They're ripping you off. Notable rich that God does a work in, Lydia, a dealer in purple. In Acts, Joseph of Arimathea had a tomb in which Jesus was buried. But these Christians are choosing the rich. And in that, they go against the plan of God. Wealth and the desire for wealth often gets in the way of heaven. Now, Jesus said he would build the church. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus is going to build the church, and we just need to be ready to help where he wants us to help. The appropriate response is, okay, Lord. Bible tells us that God will do a work. God would do a work in the poor, and he would send a message to the wealthy, that God would do a work in the simple and send a message to the wise. And James tells us that we got to watch out. Because in the choices that we make, we can find ourselves choosing a different plan than the plan of God. My plan always looked good to me. But my plan doesn't always work out. The Bible says that there is a way that seems good to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. You can be on the wrong side of the plan of God. See, God's at work all the way around us. And it is our chore, our task, to find out what he's doing. Join him in that. Early church is primarily among the poor, because God chooses the poor to be rich in faith. Amen? I'm going to embarrass a couple of ladies. Wendy, would you come on down here? And Teddy, would you come on up here? See, God's doing a work around us and in many of your lives. But last night, we had a board meeting, and we talked about these two wonderful ladies. And we see the Lord doing a work in each one of them. We voted them to become members of this church. Requirements for membership, you got to be here 3 months. We got to see the Lord in you. And we see the Lord in them. A little round of applause for these ladies. Thank you, ladies. And we got a lot of members. We got mostly members sitting out here. So we see God doing a work in you guys as well. And so it's good to be where God's doing a work. Can I get a witness? Amen, amen, amen. All righty, let's go. Number two. All right. Christians should live. Are you a Christian today?
Yes.
Put your hand up. Hand up. You're a Christian. You have given your life to the Lord. Hand up high. Hand up high. You should live your life in expectation of judgment.
Amen.
Let me tell you about that. If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. Sin leads to conviction. Now, James talks about the royal law. I want to tell you about where this comes from. Jesus, when asked, what is the most commandment? What is the most important command? The most important command, Jesus answered, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. The royal law comes from Jesus, amen? But it goes back before Jesus. We go all the way back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. Moses talking to the children of Israel. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. That is where Jesus gets his greatest command. And then he adds in from Leviticus 19, 18, and he says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And he takes these two commands from the Old Testament, puts them together, and says, all the law and the prophets flow from these. If you do these two, if you line up on these two, these are the broad strokes of the plan of God. If you do that, you'll be lining yourself up on the plan of God, and you can expect reward in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Within the broad strokes of the plan of God are fine details. James is describing this fine detail of charity or of generosity, that it is indeed an important part of the plan of God. So if you love your neighbor as yourself, charity flows from that. Can I get a witness on that? Thank you, thank you, thank you. James 1:27. Oh, yeah. James 1:27. We talked about this last week. Religion that our God and Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphan and widows in their distress. That is charity. To who? Widows and orphans. Those people who are in need, who do not have the ability to care for themselves. Pure religion, a pure following of the plan of God, is to care for them. Now, that is a detail in the broad strokes. There's more, but if you do that, you're doing good. Can I get a witness on that? Every detail is important in the plan of God. Our cracks, the cracks in our lives, is where we're messing up on the details. And you mess up on enough of the details, you'll find yourself off track with the plan, because your cracks can lead to catastrophe. Amen? James says it is the law, the word of the Lord, that will line you up on his plan. The Lord will bring you in this word correction and direction. Now, when he brings you direction, it is because you're heading in the wrong direction. Amen? Take a turn here. When he brings correction, it is because you are not doing something you should, or you're doing something that you shouldn't. Amen? So, the big issue is, what do you do with the direction of God and the correction of God? Because when he brings correction and direction, it requires a response.
Right.
More than, I already got that handled, Lord. And he's like, if you had that handled, I wouldn't have to correct you. If you had that handled, you wouldn't be going the wrong way right now. When he brings correction and directions because you got cracks, and your cracks can be catastrophic. Amen? Let's keep going. We don't get to pick and choose. It's the whole book. I'll tell you what, if you give me the freedom to pull 20 pages out of this book, it gets to be a pretty easy book for me. And if I give Aaron the ability to pull out 20, he'll probably pull out 20 different pages. But it's a lot easier book. Can I get a witness on that? See, there's all kinds of stuff in here that we're doing or not doing that lines us up on the planet. It's the few. It's the few things that we're doing, the cracks in our lives, that will lead to catastrophe, that the Lord would direct and correct. Amen? So you don't get to pick and choose. Whoever keeps the whole law. There's a lot of law in here, amen? Whoever keeps the whole law yet stumbles at just one point. Ever get a 99 on a test? Man, you walk out of that test feeling pretty good. Whoever keeps the whole law yet stumbles at one point is guilty of breaking it all. For he who said, you shall not commit adultery, also said, you shall not murder. If you do not commit adultery, but do commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. But mercy triumphs over judgment. A whole law is important. James mentions murder and adultery here, two of the big Ten Commandments. Amen? He said, you can break one. You got a problem. One out of nine. You could do nine. But that last one, bear false witness, steal, covet, oh my. Break one, break them all. You're a lawbreaker, got cracks. Cracks lead to catastrophe. And James says, live with the end in mind. Live your life with an expectation of judgment. Break part of the law, break the whole law. You live crosswise with God, you got cracks. Can be catastrophic. James then suggests a different track. Mercy. You have a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you will have mercy in your heart. Amen? Mercy is a powerful tool. Filling in cracks. And you get a grip on that. Life changes. Amen? Amen. Now, I have to share this story because there is a gift of giving. Amen? Romans chapter 12. And there are some who think that there is a gift of receiving. That I am here to enable you to flow in your gift of giving. I am here to be a recipient of mercy. There, I remember Lisa and I were involved in a singles ministry in Sacramento, and I was like the sheepdog. You know, I watched the sheep and I looked out for wolves. And one night, it was a summer evening, and there was all this commotion after service on one of the sides. Check this out. And all these people were flowing in their gift of mercy. And here was this man who, woe is me, had begun a trek from Bakersfield to Redding. We're in Sacramento. You know, it's kind of up there. You know where it is. Look at a map later. But it would be like from San Diego to L.A., and he made it as far as Oceanside. And he was at the church, and he had only had enough money for bus fare to get to Sacramento. And he was looking for money to stay at the Howard Johnson's just down the street. All right, I got a fun. Wendy, do me a favor. Please go turn the fan on in the kitchen, because I am smelling buffalo wings, and if I can't concentrate, nobody can concentrate. So here's this guy saying, I just need a room at Howard. And I say, how much do you need for that room? $80. This is 20 years ago. $80. Now, I kid you not. Oh,
I'm staying with this dude, and he's remodeling his house. There's no bathroom. I went to Tom, you're going to have your house done by the time I come back for the summer? Because I'm going to be an intern, right? I walk into his house, there's no drywall, the floors are unfinished. I go into the bathroom, there's no floor. Well, there's no floor, there's no toilet, there's no shower, there's no nothing. I built a shower in the backyard out of three pieces of plywood. And a hose, yeah. Cold water. And this guy's trying to panhandle for $80 to go to Howard Johnson's. And I'm like, man, you just started that trip all the way from Bakersfield, not even calculating the whole cost of the bus. And it's amazing how that bus depot is like 12 miles from here. You know what? I'm going to help you out. He's looking at me, that smile on his face. I said, you know what? I'm going to let you sleep right here. It's nice, warm. It's Sacramento. You don't even need a blanket tonight. And you know what? I'm going to talk to the groundskeepers. I'm telling them not to turn the sprinklers on. And you'll be right here. And all you guys, he's going to be just fine. You got to watch out. Because there are those mercy receivers. And you get your heart dialed in with the Lord. And you've got a desire to give. And they will give you an opportunity. And they're just stealing from you. And they are just stealing from the Lord. I got, I'm not trying to go off too much on this. Lady came in and, I got a need, And she's standing right there and she's a pro. And I said, ma'am, I got all kinds of people in this church have need. And we don't give them money. I said, I don't even know who you are. We're really not giving you any money. There's people. She goes, don't you have a benevolence fund? I'm like, how many people know what benevolence fund is? How many have no clue what a benevolence fund is? That's the fund that's set up to give away money. I'm like, oh, you know what a benevolence fund is, huh? Yeah, my gift is receiving. Yeah. All right, so anyway, I say that. We got tons of opportunity, tons of need, tons of touch people's hearts that you know them. You know them. Be generous. Be charitable. But be wise. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Are we okay? All right. Yeah. Wolf dog. There we go. Not wolf dog. Sheep dog. There we go. All right. Grabbing onto the plan. You want to grab onto the plan of God? James shows you how. Verses 14 to 17. What good is it, my brothers and sisters? Someone claims to have faith but has no deeds. Can such a faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes, that means naked, and daily food. One of you says to them, go in peace. That's shalom. That's a normal greeting. Keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs. What good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. We have opportunity for action. We are surrounded by opportunity for action. James talks about a situation, a specific situation of need with somebody who is so needy that they are indeed naked and hungry. Aid opportunities were all over the place because of displaced Christians back in the day because they were being arrested by the Romans, their property confiscated, similar to what is going on in Iraq and Syria today. There are charitable organizations that you can give money to aid in that, to your homework. There's also fake charitable organizations that will allow you to give to them and they will spend it on themselves. James tells us that when you come into the relationship with the Lord, there will be a change of heart. John talks about it, 1 John chapter 3, 17, echoing this. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? See, when you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there is an internal transformation that happens in your soul. Amen? Saving faith is a generous faith. James talks about two kinds of faith here, saving faith and dead faith. Dead faith is full of cracks. Saving faith stands with those in need. The church is built on saving faith. Charity is a component of saving faith. Acts chapter 2, verses 44 and 45, the brand new baby church, day of Pentecost, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. It is charity that is a mark of saving faith. It is saving faith that brings you into your right relationship with your Lord and Savior. Amen? And lastly, saving faith is something that you can see. Someone will say, "You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds." You believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder because of judgment. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. And it's given to verse 26. It says, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. God has a heart for those in need. God has a heart for the poor. And as you partner with God in reaching out to those in need, it is a display of saving faith in your life. Amen. A saving faith that will transform your inner values. A saving faith that covers in the cracks. Amen? Amen. This saving faith is a faith that is on display. Your faith, your dead faith, is on display by what you choose to do. If, treading lightly here, if the Chargers game is more important than participating in the family of God, I got to think that the Lord is bringing correction and direction your way. That was not in my notes. That's just a freebie. There's all kinds of things, all kinds of choices that you can make that display the type of faith that you have. Charity is one. Trials. Last week, James 1. Consider pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds. Why? Your trials display your cracks and give you the opportunity to address them. We got to fill in the cracks. Because cracks lead to catastrophe. If you know God, He's showing you your cracks. If you know God, you're dealing with your cracks. Your faith is on display. Now, you don't do deeds to get to heaven. You do deeds because you're going to heaven. It's a natural thing. Jesus said, if you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. You don't bear much fruit to abide in me. It's a natural outgrowth of your relationship with me. And if you don't have these choices, you have to worry about your relationship with Him. And that's what James is saying. Show me your faith by what you do. Because if it's just lip service, it's probably not going to get you very far. If it's just lip service, it's a dead faith. And he says a dead faith will not save you. It will condemn you. If you're just playing a game, those cracks in your life just keep getting worse and worse
and worse. And the problem with cracks is they lead to catastrophe. You want to come up here, Lisa? Come in here today, each one of us, filled with cracks. Question is, what do you do about it? Because the Lord would bring correction, and the Lord would bring direction, and the Lord would bring mechanisms to fill the cracks. How open are you to the message of God in your life? My life, before I came to know the Lord, was one of self-will, self-desire, and self-promotion. I wanted to work with the rich. But as I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, I stood and I said, Lord, I'll do whatever you say. Please don't ever send me to some boring white middle class church. Lord, I want to work where it's real. I want to be real. I want to be transformed. The Lord would come and speak to your heart this morning. I believe that the Lord is speaking to every heart here this morning. Some of you don't hear Him. Some of you have never heard Him. He disciplines those He loves. If you've not been disciplined by the Lord, I would be worried about what kind of faith I had. A saving faith or a dead faith. A worthless faith. Come here this morning and the Lord says, child, 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 you have got a gaping crack in your life. He says that to each one of us. And the right answer is, oh Lord, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. And He says, we can fix that for you. We can deal with that. It's not going to be pleasant. Because if it was pleasant, you'd already have dealt with it. It's not like learning how to tie your shoe, folks. I learned how to tie my shoe when I don't know, 5 years old. It's way harder, amen? God shows you to deal with things that only He, you can only accomplish with Him. And that saving faith is grabbing onto the Lord and saying, oh Lord, I see catastrophe coming around the corner, Lord. There's a crack in my life. I don't know what to do with it. How do I do it? He says, man, I got you surrounded by all these people. A lot of them deal with that same crack. Come on Monday night, celebrate recovery. Dealing with cracks every week. Come on Wednesday night, footholds on fullness. Dealing with cracks. Next week, James chapter 3, dealing with cracks. But this morning, Lord is in this place saying, you got cracks. What's your response? Dead faith says, Lord, I got it handled. I think I'll be just fine. Saving faith says, oh, Lord, save me a sinner. Help me with my cracks, Lord. Show me in your word. Mold me with your hand. I want to be made whole. I want to be made well. Nobody looking around. Lord, speaking to your heart this morning, talking about cracks. He said, oh, Lord. Lord, I'm ready to listen. I'm ready. I'm ready to go to work. My choices have been showing and displaying a dead faith. I don't want to be dead, Lord. I want to live. I want to live in you. Lord, I want to put the past behind me. Lord, I'm so fragile. There's a catastrophe awaiting for me next week, Lord. I need to be rescued. Rescue me this morning, Lord. I am a sinner, and I need to be transformed. Nobody looking around. You got massive cracks in your life. You can't fix them on your own. You're saying, oh, Lord, save me. Save me, Lord. If that's you this morning, just reach your hand up and say, here I am, Lord. Save me, Lord. I got cracks right here, back here, back there, right here. Right here. Amen, amen. Just now, you heard a little crack. The Lord just kind of touched you. Crack. And he just said, your hand should have gone up a moment ago. What's going on here? You want a live faith or you want a dead faith? You heard it. Crack. Figured I could handle it on my own. Crack. That's the Lord right now saying, that's you, child. That is you, child. You didn't put your hand up earlier, but the Lord's making it plain to you. You need some help. You ready to surrender? Anybody else? Didn't put your hand up before. The Lord's talking right to your heart. Anybody else? Slide your hand up. Just say, that's me. Back here. Anybody else? Anybody else? Back there. Last chance. Crack, crack, crack. Crackle, crackle, crackle. Worship team's going to come. We're going to stand. Lord, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that I don't have to. I don't have to fix my cracks, Lord. I just got to line up on your plan, Lord, that you come, that you aid me by your spirit, Lord, that you guide me by your word, and you put me around people, Lord, that have been this way before, that there is assistance and aid that is available to me and to each person this morning who responded to you, Lord. We got cracks, Lord. We got cracks, Lord. We're a people of cracks, Lord, but we want to spend eternity with you, Lord. We're asking you to come and fill our cracks, Lord. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Everyone said? Amen. We're going to sing this song. Dan, you're going to click that over. I want to know what song we're going to sing. Give me faith. You need faith to get those cracks filled. I invite you to just come up here and just kneel and pray and get filled. Amen?